Get access to actionable news and market research with all the information you need to invest smarter and profit faster. Start your free trial today at pro.benzinga.com.
We are back at it. Woo! Welcome to the Power Hour. This is the Trade Idea Show. How is everybody doing? Let's get the idea flow going. If you guys have stocks you're trading, tickers you care about, drop them in the chat. We will take a look. We've got a jam-packed show today, okay? In just a couple minutes here, we're going to be joined by Paul Gezzi, CEO of Control Technologies. We are always trying to bring you guys interesting stocks. So there will be one there. It's one that I wasn't familiar with before I started doing a little bit of research. So hopefully it brings some new ideas to you all. And then at 12:20, Ripster is going to be joining us. Ripster is going to be coming live on the Power Hour. Shout out Master of Stonks in the chat. Great username. And you know Ripster is going to be delivering the idea. So, guys, this is going to be a jam-packed day per usual. Let's drop the air horn. Oh, we don't have the air horn today either. All right. That's all right. We'll get it figured out. But let's keep it rolling, everyone. Let's get the idea flow going. I am going to go ahead and bring our first guest onto the stream here in just a second. Paul Gezzi, CEO of Control Technologies. What is going on, Paul? How are you doing today?
I'm well. How are you?
Doing well. Having a beautiful Tuesday in Detroit, Michigan. I don't know how much you can see behind me, but sun is shining, stocks are moving, and we are here ready to get after it.
Sounds good.
All right. And before we dive into it, could you just give us a little bit of background on Control for anybody who isn't familiar?
Sure. So we're a smart building technologies company. We operate primarily in any building that's over 40,000 square feet in size. And what we do is we focus on software service and automation projects to improve energy emissions and create healthier buildings.
Okay, excellent. And guys, the symbol, if you want to look up the stock, it's KNRLF. That's Kilo, November, Romeo, Lima, Foxtrot, Control Technologies. Okay, so you're creating the smart technologies. Can you go a little bit deeper into the product itself, just to help us to make it a little bit more tangible for the audience?
Sure. So we have multiple products. One would be software running in the building to improve real-time energy management. Another would be limiting emissions in buildings and monitoring and managing those. And as we know, most corporations now have a net zero 2050 policy around energy and emissions. So we're in the right spot at the right time. And one of our prominent technologies, which we launched last year, is Control BioCloud. And that is a technology that works on creating safer spaces for those going back to the office and looking to create safer environments as we deal with kind of the, let's say, the end of this phase of the pandemic. And now we're entering the reopening phase.
Okay, got it. And is it all software or is there hardware in the mix there as well?
So our business is really driven by software, which is recurring, a service platform or asset management, which is recurring, and projects, which are one time. When you bundle those together, the target is for Control to be 50% recurring and 50% project. That's what we're working towards. We're about 35 right now recurring, and we look to grow that number over time.
Okay. And is the idea that you lead with the project-based work and then you win those customers as recurring, or is it two different sales cycles, or how exactly does that work?
Yeah, typically our customers are selecting us through our software and service platform. And, you know, why do they need us? Most customers want more visibility, more real-time analytics, more data to run a better building, to save money, to improve operations. Even more so, if you think about where the economy is today, commercial real estate's been hard hit, and commercial real estate is moving quickly through a technology adoption cycle. So Morgan Stanley refers this to this time period as the building technology super cycle. You know, a lot of technology coming into buildings to really offset costs and make them more efficient, profitable, and sustainable.
Got it. And just to give our listeners a sense of size and scale, it looks like you guys did about $3.3 million of sales in the most recent quarter for an annualized rate of somewhere around $13 million a year. Is that accurate?
Well, so what's really exciting today is we just announced a major transaction, $155 million. Yeah,
Let
you
me
want?
get that on the screen. Yeah, I have
Yes.
it pulled up. Let's pull it up. But sorry, I cut you off. Keep going.
Yeah, no problem. So big news for us today, $155 million order book. So what does that mean? That means we're going to triple last year's revenues this year. So last year we ended at about 13. This year we're going to end somewhere around 37, 38. We're going to take those revenues and almost double them next year. And so if you think about where we are today, we're a much different looking company. We're on our way to significant revenue growth year over year. And you know, and this industry is consolidating. So some of the big names in the industry, which you'll know, are Honeywell, Johnson Controls, Siemens, Schneider. We're a smaller version that's really technology focused, and we're going to scale this business to large revenue numbers. And we're on our way with this significant acquisition and order book.
Okay, and let me make sure I got those numbers right. So you said you did 13 million, then this year
Yeah.
it's going to be 37, 38, and then you
Right.
say 50s some for next year.
No, we're 65 to 70 next year as of today.
Woo. Okay.
So
All
we're
right.
the we're the
That's
unknown
nice.
up and coming smart building technology leader, which is why we're on your show to get better known.
There you go. Okay. So again, guys, it was 13 million last year, 37 million of revenue this year, and 65 to 70 million next year. I mean, that is some serious growth.
Yeah, no, we're excited. I mean, our whole mode here is growth, with EBITDA positive. So we're EBITDA positive and cash flow positive. We're not a huge cash flow generator because we keep reinvesting in the business and new technology. But the idea here is we're raising capital for very accretive acquisitions or technology innovation. We're not raising capital to run the business. Got a very clean balance sheet, and we're ready to grow.
Awesome. And Paul, so you announced also the closing of your previously announced acquisition. How much of the revenue growth that you're mentioning is a result of that deal versus or organic revenue growth?
Right. So our organic growth will be about 25% off of last year, maybe 30 as we end the
Okay.
year. So very healthy coming out of a post-COVID period. And this acquisition adds a certain amount of scale, which is important. But our key focus is always to drive organic growth through innovation in-house. And so don't buy technology, develop it in-house, buy cash flow and customers, keeps the multiples down, gives you a good acquisition. And we paid a very reasonable value for this acquisition. So when you combine our good acquisitions with solid organic growth, that's really the path for control.
Awesome. And Paul, one more question. You mentioned the very clean balance sheet. How was this deal financed?
So
Can you
we
talk about
had
that?
cash on the books,
Okay.
no debt, and we're using something we like to call here a vendor take back, which is vendor financing. At a very low coupon over 3 years. It ties the vendor to the business. It makes them want to execute. It makes them want to be part of the team. And so we've got the existing management team that we've acquired running with us for 3 years with some vendor financing. So from a dilution perspective, it was not dilutive. We had the cash on the books, and we use vendor financing plus a small earnout to give them some of the upside if they execute.
Okay, excellent. And Paul, let me ask you this question. If you had to name one thing that you're most excited for, what one item on the horizon that gets you fired up, what would that item be?
So outside of our, what I consider pretty amazing growth here, so tripling and doubling in 2 years is our Control BioCloud technology, which is in-house innovation, which is part of the economy reopening. It's an air quality and early viral detection system. And we've got some news coming up in the coming weeks and months, which I think will, put the technology on a global stage. And we're very excited about where that's going in the future.
Awesome. Paul, I appreciate you taking the time to join us today.
Thank you
Super
so much.
interesting company, guys. We try to bring you ideas, names you don't know. Like Paul said it, they're like the quickly growing player in the space, looking to get the word out there a little bit more. The symbol, one more time, is KNRLF. That's Kilo, November, Romeo, Lima, Foxtrot. Paul, appreciate you coming on. And those numbers that you gave were massive. I'm going to read them off one more time, guys. I jotted it down. It's 13 million of sales last year, 37 million of sales this year, and 65 to 70 million next year. massive revenue growth. Congratulations on all that you built. And whenever you have updates, new things to share with us, make sure you let us know.
Thanks for your time. Thank you.
Absolutely. So there you have it, guys. Paul Gezzi, CEO, Control Technologies. I want to throw this one out to the chat. If that seems like an interesting story to you guys, drop me a one in the chat. I'm curious where everyone's at. Shout out Damon saying smash that like button. We even got these cute smash the like graphics made. Check it out. That was my thumb. They used my thumb for the video just like 8 different times. I had to like do 19 takes where I just kept shoving my thumb in the middle. Then we... Yeah, my thumb wasn't in that one. But there it is. This is the Power Hour, guys. For anybody who's just joining us today, let me catch you up to speed, okay? We are out here on a mission to make this the best trade idea resource possible. We want there to be no better way for you to spend 45, 60, 75 minutes every single day than right on this channel at noon Eastern, talking trade ideas. If you guys have stocks that you're looking at, stocks that you're trading, put those symbols in the chat. I want to see what everybody is looking at, what's on everybody's radar today. We just jumped straight into the first company, Control Technologies. Up next, we're going to be hearing from Ripster shortly, and you know Ripster always brings the ideas. I've got two symbols that he mentioned last time I absolutely want to get to. It's Game and Derm. Those are two I'm eager about. If you guys have other Ripster stocks, let's put those in the chat as well. I have another earnings play I want to pitch, and Jason Resnick is here.
Yes, I was late. I was on the SPAC attack watching it because they had the OCA. It's the Omni Channel Acquisition thing at Kin Insurance that my guys are involved. You know, not my guys. They're not my guys at all, Luke. Matt Higgins, Gary Vanderchuk. There's a CEO in place. And I, Kin Insurance, symbol's OCA. I'm going to pick up some shares. Lemonade's at a 50 multiple. Kin's at like a 10 or 8 or some BS like that. And so I'm going to pick up some shares. That's going to be Jason Resnick talking to the third person's next buy.
All right. And wait, what's the business exactly?
What's the business exactly?
Is it commercial insurance? Is it retail?
That's a good question. It's a little, I mean, so
and if you guys missed the interview,
I'll
check
tell
this
you
out in our trusty Benzinga Pro. We have all the headlines, all the excerpts from that interview in here. If you need to go back and read about them later, like I'm looking at it. Now,
read me a headline.
I missed the interview.
Read me a headline.
Let's see. All right. Kin Insurance CEO says walking into a store to buy an inherently virtual product like insurance is absurd. I love that one. Walking into the store to buy a product like insurance is absurd. Competitors aren't very good at software. National expansion by 2025. There's a lot of good tidbits in okay. Benzinga Pro here.
And I didn't buy the stock yet because I wanted people to build, go ahead of me. So I'm looking it up now. I think I'm going to buy it live. So it's down a penny. I think I'm ready to go. So I'm going to share my screen.
Yep. Let's see it. Let's make it happen.
All right. Hold on, boss. Dude, we need some music. Music. Dude, music. Why don't we have music? Why not?
I don't have a soundboard today.
Why?
I don't know.
I mean, what
doesn't work?
I mean, what is this? It's not like we're not spending money on this fucking show.
I know.
Right?
It's annoying to me.
I would be so fucking pissed if I was you.
Yeah, I am. You're going to fucking get me going in a second here.
Oh, dude, I called Aaron Thomas this morning going crazy.
About which one?
Seth, the email forward thing. All I wanted to do is stop the calendar invite emails. And I was clear about that on Friday and then or Monday or whatever. And then he just stopped the whole email account. You know?
Yep.
I was really mad. I was trying to be super clear with my, you know, nothing clarifies a clarity. And all right, so I'm buying some shares. Where is my?
All right, and for anybody just joining us, guys, this is the Power Hour. This is the Trade Idea Show. Jason Raznick making his first buy of the day. It's symbol OCA.
Dude, why Oscar Charlie working, Alpha. I can't buy shares.
Action. You did not fill out the action. Are you buying or selling?
Oh, my God. What a loser I am.
That'll do it. It should probably just autofill to buy, though.
All right. Here we go.
Limit order 984, 983.
Buying shares live on the show now. All right. So I'm going to buy some. And guys, I'm not buying this for a trade. I'm just so we're clear. I am not buying this for a trade. This could be down tomorrow. I mean, I don't know. This is a SPAC conversion, but I am not buying it. I'm buying it for an investment. I think Kin Insurance is, I know it's a SPAC, man. I got it. I'm buying it for a holding that I'll own just like I own. Let me show you some of the stocks that I own. Here, let's go. Some of the stocks I own.
Live air horns for a live trade made on Power Hour. We just got a live update from Ripster. He's running a couple minutes late, but he will be with us here momentarily. But Luke, I got to give you credit.
What the hell just happened? Jesus. All of a sudden I heard, woo. Did you like throw up?
Well, I was doing live air horns for the live trade.
All right. That's fair. That's fair. I liked it. Okay.
But I got to give credit to Luke Raz, because yesterday we were talking about, I had two BABA calls that were open. Luke convinced me to sell one because it was in the money. And today BABA kind of missed on earnings and it ended up being the right call. I was going to just let them ride and I would have lost all my money.
Yeah, guys. So let's cut to BABA really quick. Stocks down 2.5%. The company came out with a revenue of $32 billion versus a $32.5 billion estimate. So a little bit of a miss. The idea here was that if BABA broke one way or the other, it had a huge beat or a huge miss, it would get all the Chinese stocks rallying with it. Because it was more or less in line with that small little miss, it's not really doing a ton to push the broader Chinese stocks.
But I think you were right. I mean, look, if you look at Didi, it's down about 3%, similar to what BABA is. And I think if BABA would have beaten was up 3% today, then we would see Didi up too. So, I mean, I think there's just still a lot of fear surrounding these Chinese names. So certainly some attractive prices. I mean, I still think BABA below $200 is a steal. But yeah, we're looking at Tiger right here. We've talked about the brokerage space, definitely a hot space. Oh, and look, we have our special guest here.
Should we do our crypto update first, producer AB?
Yeah, let's do our quick crypto update brought to you by Voyager. We do have the crypto heat map on the Benzinga.
Go Voyager!
Woo! All right, so today's show, this episode of the Power Hour is brought to us by Voyager Digital.
Yeah!
It is a crypto brokerage, not exchange. That means it connects to multiple exchanges. So that way your order can be filled at the best price across the exchanges.
I love me some Voyager.
Up on our screen right here, we have a lot of red. We're looking at a heat map of the past 24-hour price movements for the major cryptos. As we can see, Bitcoin down 4%, Ethereum down 6%. Dogecoin is off a little bit today as well, everybody's favorite crypto. So, you know, I guess my quick take, producer AB, is that we had the rally. Bitcoin has been struggling to hold 40K several times now. That's my line to watch. We talked about it yesterday. We want to see Bitcoin hold 40K, and then hopefully that will kick off at least a little bit of a bull run. But again, guys, today's show is brought to us by Voyager Digital, crypto brokerage, not exchange, connects to the exchanges so that way you get the best fill. Voyager offers more than 60 assets. Has annual interest earnings of up to 12%. And check this out for all of our viewers on the Power Hour. We have a special offer. If you create a Voyager account, you fund it with $100 and make a trade, your first trade, okay? Only $100 needed. You get $50 of free Bitcoin, all right? So you put in $100, you make your first crypto trade. Voyager is going to give you $50 of free Bitcoin. Use the sign-up code ZING, Z-I-N-G, and they'll make it happen for you. So there you go, guys. If you've needed a reason to get started to check out crypto, that code ZING is the reason to do it. Special offer just for our viewers. So go check it out, everybody.
Beautiful. Yeah, thank you again to Voyager for sponsoring this episode. And without further ado, Luke, let's get to our very special guest.
Get access to actionable news and market research with all the information you need to invest smarter and profit faster. Start your free trial today at pro.benzinga.com.
All right, Ripster, you are back at the Power Hour. How are you doing today, sir? Your background is ever changing. So what's going on, man? How have things been in your world?
Things, it has all about AMD for last 4 or 5 days, AMD Tesla. So things been good. All right.
I guess I have three things I definitely want to talk about today. I want to talk about like SPY or triple Qs, broader market. I want to talk about game and I want to talk about Durham a little bit. But you brought up AMD and Tesla. Do you have anywhere in particular that you want to jump in?
I mean, we've been jumping in since 95 breakout and 100 breakout. So the biggest thing is anybody who missed AMD, he or she should not have missed AMD, because everybody knew that when AMD breaks that weekly range, or monthly range, I would say, that 100 range and 95, and I have been posting charts again and again and again, it's going to be huge. Why it's going to be huge? Because a lot of institutional investors get interested on when these range breakouts happen at a monthly range, and of course AMD is showing that growth and potential, right? So it's a tested setup. It's a tested and, you know, high probability setup. It tested 100 so many times and went back. But this time it was with huge volume and every dip was soaked. It broke out, it retested, and it went back again. And it's still holding the trend. You know, I see people trying to short it. I wouldn't long here, because it's, you know, my risk is 100. If I long anywhere here, my risk is 100. So anytime it goes back to 100, I will add it. But I will not short it either. I mean, because the problem is you cannot, people are trying to short it because it's high. Nothing is high, right? You can't just say that this is high, I'm trying to short it, because you cannot put a good risk level on the top of all-time high breakouts.
Yes, but, guys, I
will buy it again at 100. But I'm still holding my 112 calls. Actually, it just met our 112 target. I gave the target in the morning, and we just crossed the target. And I took profit on my 112 calls next week.
All right. So a couple things there. I like your comment about not shorting these stocks as they're breaking out into all-time highs. One of the first accounts that I blew up, I tried to do exactly that. I think I was 20 years old at the time. I'd see a stock go way up and say, this has got to come back down to earth, short it. And I that account ran to zero pretty darn quickly.
You know, I would like to tell something to my followers. It's not about, oh, I can make money. Oh, look, AMD went up and it came down. You said it. It's not a good idea. It's not about winning just one that trade. You might make money on AMD. Let's say you short it here. You hold your monthly calls. It goes back to 105. You know, you might make some money, but what are you doing here? You are building a very bad habit. It's all next. You win this AMD trade, and next time you try another trade, which is breaking out, and let's say you win that too, then you think, oh, this works every time. And next time Tesla is breaking out, and or something else is breaking out, and you add, and finally you blow up your whole account because it was never really a good risk reward setup. So don't build bad habits. That's what I would say, because I get so many messages. Can I short AMD here? Yes, you can short. But see what you are doing to your trading career. What are you doing to your trading mentality, your psyche, your system, your setup? You are taking something which is ideally a long setup, which has no risk reward. You cannot define a risk versus reward, and you are building a bad habit. You know, I used to do that. I remember I used to short Tesla every time. Right. Well, like you said, and I all my money I made out of my 10 trades, I used to lose in one trade. So that's when I said, nothing is too high, nothing is too low. Change that mentality. And that's how you made money. Anybody who changed that mentality made money in AMD. But somebody said, oh, AMD is too high at 102. I'm out. And he's sitting in FOMO. Oh, AMD is at 110. He got, you know. So nothing is too high. Just play the levels, play the trend.
And Ripster, let me ask you this about your journey and like your personal development as a trader. Like you said, you had to learn these things and try them and see what happened to your account. Like, what did that path look like for you? Or how long did that take for you to learn some of those fundamental lessons that you're always out there teaching people now?
Yeah. I mean, I would say it took 3 years, but my 3 years will be equivalent to 10 years of a person, normal trader, because I was doing testing this 24/7, right? I was trying to play a new system, new setup. And, you know, and I would play 10 trades of that setup, and then I would blow out in the 11th trade all the money I made in my trend trades, right? Or I would just look at gurus and alerts and, you know, try to trade them. I just never used to make money doing that. And for me, the thing was when I said, you know, like I always say, you start believing in yourself, you know, you can start believing in yourself today, or you can just spend 3-4 years going around looking at gurus, alerts, indicators. I mean, anything that you think is easy money, right? You, and at end of the day, if you keep doing that, one day you will realize that you yourself will be only the reason for your success. And that's what happens. Some people just give up after a few years, and some keep doing it, and some just start to believe in themselves. Once you start to believe in yourself, you don't need somebody else to make money for you. You start to have a system. You stick with your system. Even if your system is not working, you still stick with it because, you know, you test it. And at the end of the day, you build consistency and then you find success. So that's how, what happened with me. I mean, I talk in my podcast, my Twitter feed. Everybody knows that story, that I'm a firm believer that you should believe in yourself. You know, how do I trade AMD? Because I have tested. This is my bread and butter setup of breakouts and all at all-time high and consolidation break. I have thousands of charts doing that, even on my Twitter, right? Because that, I don't need any guru to tell me, okay, AMD is breaking out, because I have seen it. It's probability. It's my system. It's my strategy. Even if I lose, I'm not worried to go in. But people are worried and scared to go in. They will ask you, hey, are you taking this trade? Are you still holding? Nah. For me, no. I don't need to ask anybody. If it fails, it fails. So that's my point. It takes time. You start believing in yourself, start believing in your system strategy, and you'll see success.
Yeah. And I love what you're saying about, you know, like who to listen to and sort of cutting through all the noise, right? Like as traders, as investors, we're just bombarded with, you know, this penny stock is the next Amazon and that sort of messaging. One of the reasons why I was so keen to join Benzinga when I met Jason and heard about the vision was because it took me blowing up three accounts from ages like 16 through 20-ish to sort of understand, you know, that I need to trust myself a little bit. And the whole idea behind Benzinga, like the thing that got me hooked, was just, we want to provide the hard information. We want to make it easy to consume, right? It's we want to say what happened, why it matters. We're not going to say this stock is the next Amazon or do any of that sort of messaging. It's there's, you know, tons of coverage on the top 10 biggest stocks. There's no coverage on anything else. That's where Benzinga can come in and make a difference. And that's what got me fired up about this business. So when you're talking about sort of this trusting yourself, and blocking out that noise and cutting through all this messaging that we get, I love it. It absolutely resonates with what we're doing.
And I think the tools help, like you mentioned, Benzinga. You just use the tools that are there, you know, to scan the markets, to study, you know, the filings and everything. There are tools out there. Those tools will help you do your backtesting and do your, you know, you work with your system strategy. Yeah, it's everything is out there. You know, but nobody's going to hand it to you. Nobody's going to knock your door, say, hey, here you go, bro. Here's your, you know, $1 million worth of profit for next 1 year. Nobody's going to do that, right?
Yeah.
But that's the expectation, right? I see desperate DMs. Hey, bro, where are you alerting? Where are your alerts? I can't find your alerts. No, quit desperation. When you have that mode of desperation, looking around where I can make money, then that means you are on a wrong path. Step back. Take a deep breath, You know, just see what you are doing wrong and how what you can do right. You know, we all do mistakes. That other day I was saying, like, okay, I'm doing, let's say I post my ideas. I post 10 ideas. Let's say they have been good, but maybe my next 5 ideas are wrong, right? And if you take those 5 ideas, you might blow up and you say, this guy sucks. But that's where the difference makes. You never had your own conviction. You build your own conviction. That's, I keep saying, you know? So, yep. Yeah.
And so let's go back to this AMD as an example. And guys, if you're just joining us, we're looking at AMD. It's a stock that Ripster has been trading a lot over the past few days. These are daily candles. Obviously, it's been on a rip for the past 5 sessions or so. Yeah. So you said you got the 112 calls this morning, I believe, correct?
No, I was holding it before. So you've been in it. I was down. I rolled it. I think I alerted yesterday or something. I rolled from 110 profit and rolled to 112.
Okay, so I guess what were you seeing in the chart or I guess in general, what were you looking at that gave you the conviction in this trade? Why did you want to be more long AMD?
Can you do a monthly or weekly candle on your chart?
Yeah. Let's see. These are monthlies. Do you want these monthlies or do you want weeklies?
Monthly is fine. Okay. No, that's fine. I just zoom out. Yeah. You see where it's broke 70. You see that, right?
Yeah.
70. And after that, it went to 90s, back to that 70s, went to 90, 95s again. And, you know, it tried 100 once and then back to 70s. What is it doing? It's building a range. And this range is not a daily range. It's a monthly range. 70 to 100 or 70 to 95, let's, you know, but 100 is a psychological number, big psychological number. So that range, whenever a range breaks, right? And ideally, bigger the range, bigger the breakout. If this breaks 100, ideally AMD should see 115. That is half the range it had a previous range from 70 to 100 or 95, right? There's a 30-point range or let's say 25-point range. So ideally, a 50% of that range is the breakout. So that's what happens. People just see the daily candle. Oh, it's breaking out. It's too high. Oh, wow, it's too high. Short it. Zoom out. Look at the bigger range. That's how the institutional investors trade, right? If I doubt AMD ever falls back 100. If market crashes, it might. But now the institutions will come back in that 9,500 range every time it goes there. And then from here on, from next few years, the AMD will be story going toward 150 if it keeps showing the growth. So now it's not only the short-term traders came in. Long-term traders also came in on this breakout, which are not going to sell until they see 150 or whatever, 200. So it's, you have to understand the time frame, psychology, everything, right? I might be trading short term, but there are a lot of long-term investors in there too. They risk differently. Long-term might risk $70, might risk 75, 25, 30 points, but he's looking for double in next few years, right? So it's risk reward. So that's how you trade.
Okay. All right. So there's AMD. Can we talk about GAME for a second? GAME.
Yeah.
All right. So last time you were on, you brought up this stock, which is an interesting one. Let's zoom in. 1 year chart, daily candles. And the story is interesting on this one. It's basically they own the IP for a lot of the online gambling. Is that accurate?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you just take us through the story again? I just remember the last time we spoke, it was one of those names I wrote down to dig into.
Yeah,
and we never got around to it, and so I mean, with the price depressed, coming up against some of those previous lows, it's like piquing my interest again.
Yeah. So what happened were we were playing the catalyst, or because we knew these litigations, something is going to come up, right? So that's why we were playing. We took it from $10, $11. I was alerting, and the news came. The news came, and that what we were expecting. And in after hours, it did touch almost $15, almost 50% from where we added. And I was expecting that, you know, the market will take it in a good way, right? When they sued BKNG, but it right away, it sold off the day one, right? Okay. So, you know, I didn't tend to take any profits in a pre-market. Some folks did, right? And then it started selling off from there, and it's kept on having a weakness. And then my stops were the IPO or the uplisting lows. 850 is the stops I gave everyone, right? So basically, I stopped out of there, and that was the stop I gave. And for me, if my conviction, my technicals are more than my conviction, right? Okay. If it broke 15, I knew it's going to 20 because the market is bullish. Market wants to join it. And this is, doesn't matter what you believe. You have a conviction, you play something. But if market doesn't believe in that, you will see in the technicals, right? So people keep asking, what should we do? What should we, even now this, should I add? Should I add? I don't care if it's cheap or what. They even gave a litigation against FanDuel, right? Yep. And that even that didn't do anything. So that tells me something more is happening behind it. It's just not a regular selling. Something is being shorted or something is happening. So now it's my waiting game. My last trade I could have profited, but I actually sold it for a loss because my entry was 10 and, you know, 850 my stop. But right now it's at a good level, but I'm not a dip buyer. The litigations will keep going on. If they settle the litigations with DKNG and FanDuel, you know, then the same thesis comes back, right? But I want to see that strength before I jump back in. So that's the story. A lot of people say, oh, they messed with DKNG. So DKNG is a big dog. They are just, you know, shorting it down to the earth. I don't know. I don't believe that. I don't know if that's possible or not. I've been trying to reach the management. I've, you know, not able to get through, but hopefully, you know, we'll get some answers there. Because what happens is, I tell you what happens. If the IPO low broke, right, the IPO or the uplisting broke, 850 broke, people still try to buy it. They say, oh, Ripster said it's a good stock, but Ripster also said the technical level, right? They buy it, and next day it sells off, and they sell it. Then it goes lower. Then somebody else buys it. Oh, it's a cheap. Oh, Ripster said it's a good stock. Buy it. And they buy it, and it doesn't go off, and next day sell it. So that thing keeps going on, right? And then, you know, it's, you know, where people just fall, don't follow the technicals or conviction. So that's what I believe happened with the game, you know, the story behind the game. Good for them who took the profit, you know, 50% up from since we were idea. But I think you just need to play technical. Sometimes something works, something not. So long-term thesis is still there, but we'll wait to see what
to see
it does.
The strengths. Okay, yeah. So the thesis holds. You want to see some strength go back into the stock.
Yeah.
And I love what you're saying about the dip buying too. I wonder if we learned the same hard lessons. My three accounts that I blew up when I was getting started was the first one I was trying to short highs. That was one that we already talked about. Second one is I was trying to catch falling knives. I'd find a stock down 80%, buy it, thinking, oh, this thing, it's not worth a dollar. It's got to go back up. Blew up an account like that. And my third one I blew up was chasing like penny stock alerts, like you know, on all the premium newsletters.
Yeah, yeah.
You get the penny stock alerts, you know,
yeah.
Sub pennies, etc.
Yeah.
And that was my third one.
Yeah. You know, with the pennies also, another thing I want to tell a lot of people, they don't understand. A lot of these penny stocks and all these micro caps, there is no fundamental, right? There is, if there was a fundamental, they wouldn't have been penny stocks. Okay, biotechs are different because biotechs are in a research phase. They are working to show the data. So they can go from $2 to $8, $10 once their data is released, no problem, right? But a lot of other of these stocks, there are no fundamentals. When I trade, it's for me, it's few things, float structure. Right. If the float is tight, let's say 2-3 million, 5 million institution hold big, there is no dilution. There's no effectiveness out there. And it catches some news. I will trade it. You know, I will. There will be volume. You know, I will trade it 50-100%, whatever I get it. Right. But people so many times, they just think, oh, it's something stories. There is no story mostly. Right. There can be hype. There can be catalyst. Right. So you can trade the hype and catalyst. Let's say something is merging. Or something is, you know, there's a rumors of being acquired or whatever, right? So that's how you trade pennies. You need to understand the float structure, the structure of, you know, the supply demand. Sometimes somebody will short it and, you know, there are so many shorts on it, but when the news comes, volume comes, it runs. And a low float can go from 100, 300, 400%, wherever. And whatever chunk I can get of it, I'll get it. But I don't marry them. And you just use your risk levels. So a lot of people ping me and DM me. I just want to explain to them that's how you treat penny stocks. There's so much money to be made in there, but you have to understand, you know, what you are trading and what you are looking at. So, yeah.
Awesome. And then can we talk about earnings for a second as well? You know, we're getting like hot and heavy into earnings season. Do you have any names that you're buying into the strength into earnings? Are you waiting to see how numbers hit and then looking to take some action? I've got a couple like carparts.com ticker PRTS. That's one that I'm holding into numbers this week. I have a thesis on that. Curious if you have any stocks like that.
APPS report earnings? That's what I was waiting for.
Let me see. So this is Digital Turbine, guys. Ticker APPS. Going to my trusty Benzinga Pro 6 days from now. So it's going to be Monday, August 9th after the close.
Yeah. So that's what I want to be waiting for. I want to see the growth. You know,
but do you like to hit these ones into the report, or do you like to see the report and then play the momentum after
that? So there are two types of trades that I usually do. One is a run-up trade. And even in a run-up trade, I want to see a reversal or a key level breakout or reclaim of strength into the earnings. That tells me that buyers are coming into the earnings. Then I will take earning run-up trades. I probably haven't alerted any earning recently, but we used to do a lot of these in last quarter and before that, get some earning run-up trades. And second trade I do is after the earnings. And I am only interested in the stocks which are trading closer to their all-time highs or 52-week highs, like I mentioned last time. Any stock which is at lows, at earnings, all-time lows or 52-week lows, even a good earning bounce is excuse for a lot of traders or investors to get out. And even it has less probability of making a big move. So I am usually interested to see, you know, the strength in the chart before the earnings and then the breakout after the earnings.
Okay.
So APPS, I'm interested, yep. But I want to see it break 67 here. Okay. That will be a bullish. Yeah.
And let's zoom in. I guess tell me how you're getting to that 67. Should we be looking at weekly candles or where are you getting that?
I'm on a weekly. If you see the weekly candles, all of them had a VIX at 67.
All right, so here are the weeklies. Yeah. Okay. I see a handful of those there. All right. So that's your level on APPS.
Yeah. You need to zoom out. Yeah. See, further the zoom out, better the picture. You know, okay. Like I like how your Benzinga charts, we can zoom out. A lot of other chart platforms, Thinkorswim and others, you cannot zoom out. You know, all the new traders don't just look at 5 minutes, 10 minutes, or one daily. Zoom out. Look at like the complete life cycle.
Yes.
Now you see how the apps has been trading, right? I have been trading, alerting it from $20, and we rode it all the way up. And it has been in this range for last 6-7 months. The real trade will be when it breaks 90. I'm telling you now, when apps break that 90 or 100, it will go to 150. You can set alerts. I don't know, it will be next quarter. I don't know, next year, maybe. I don't know if this earning is good, who knows? But that's how you trade it.
Yeah, and shout out to Tiny Pie in the chat saying, if in doubt, zoom out. And somebody else, Rip, was wanted me to give you the heads up that IBM looks like it's breaking out again. Let's take a look there. Oh, the wrong button. IBM. Yeah, it looks like it's trying on that 144.
Yeah, IBM, the real breakout. There. So if you zoom out IBM, I see, yeah, breaking out.
Here's a 1 year.
152 is good. Also, Apple. Don't forget Apple. Even though market is at highs, and you know, I mean, it's kind of a slippery slope. But Apple has the strength. If it breaks 150, we can get some trade to 152.5 or something like that.
Apple is such an amazing stock.
Yeah,
it's one of those stocks that I've had, I don't know, probably literally 10 years, or at least like the initial position, right? For let's say 10 years. And it was one of the biggest stocks, if not the biggest stock on the market when I bought it. And for the past several years, it's been the biggest stock on the market. And it's one of the best performers that I have. It's like,
Apple is a stock like once when it was 100, I said, just buy. And in 5 years, maybe you can double. Yes. Yeah, it's just like that.
That's crazy. Did you ever look at this one, Celsius? That's the other earnings stock that I'm interested in. Ticker CELH. This is one, like I sort of like you, I have two ways that I look at earnings. I have some that I build a thesis on and do like the nice value work on into the report and will hold the stock into earnings. I have some that I'll look for how the report comes and try to take a move like that. Celsius is one of those names that I'm owning the stock outright into the earnings report.
Yeah. So Celsius is a high growth stock. Last November, I alerted it at 20, 30 bucks after earnings. And after that, it just ramped up to 60 bucks. After that, I didn't really touch it because it had extended and it was in a range. But it's definitely a stock to keep eye on. It's building a flag into earnings. You said earnings are coming up?
In 2 weeks. We still have a little bit of time.
So it's building a flag into earnings. Can break out over 72. If it shows really sales year over year and revenue sales growth is like, let's say it's 100% or something, these things can go bonkers over 80 bucks, right? So just keep an eye. So it's always a good pick.
Okay. And Ripster, let me ask you one more question. I'll let you get back to it. But a couple of folks have asked like what tools you use or what sorts of things occupy your desktop space.
Well, I have your Benzinga Squawk on. I actually muted it right now to just keep eye on what news comes out, right?
Pro.benzinga.com, guys. 2 weeks free, okay? I'm putting the link in the chat. 2 week trial, no credit card.
Yeah. And then I use some option flow tools, right? I mean, Benzinga also has option flow tools. If you want to save money, just use a Benzinga. But I use, you know, other tools, Chatterflow and stuff. And then I keep eye on like a lot of, you know, social media, what's going on, you know, other traders, what's in a hype or social media, you know, so just like
what,
that.
What social tools do you use? That's interesting.
I'm just a Twitter.
Oh, okay. All right. So you're just a monster on Twitter.
Tools I use. You know, I'm mostly my Discord, Atlas, and then just chat with my friends. So I was going to roll on AMD calls. I hope people got some. Trying to see.
The AMD keeps going, baby.
Yeah, I was.
Buy a day. We're there.
I was supposed to take it to 115. But I think I just have to wait. Let me see.
So when you're saying you roll it, are you going to roll the strike higher or what are you doing there?
No. I just, what I do is, let's say I made a good money on next week's, you know, I use that profit and just use the profit money to take some calls into, you know, for this week. Or if it's like today's Tuesday, I would have, maybe I would have taken Friday's call, okay. You know, out of money. And if it works, it works. If it doesn't work, I'm still profitable, right? So, yeah. It doesn't really make sense here to buy monthly calls because that I would do once it goes back to 100. Right here, I would rather do weeklies using the profit money that we have already made.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was, I usually don't, these days, I am not, don't trade much options. I just do, shares. But AMD is so liquid and lucrative. So it was one of big trades last few days on AMD. These are once a year trades, like the AMD breakout. And once these happens, you just need to, you know, be on top of these.
Got it. Awesome. Well, Ripster, I appreciate you coming on and hanging out with us per usual, dropping the ideas, talking through the symbols. We don't have the chair, but as long as the chair is still in the basement, not out on the curb, you know, I feel better about it. It was the coolest chair I think I've ever seen.
Oh, I appreciate it. I'll get the chair one of these days, man.
All right, perfect. And guys, I've got Ripster's Twitter in the chat. Make sure you follow him. I mean, he is one of those guys that's seriously out there. He's genuine every single day, just talking about what's going on. He's out there educating people. I mean, it's cool. He's not trying to like make a business out of it or anything like that. He's just out there for the people. He talked about some of the hard lessons that he's learned over the years, his 3 years of education when he was getting going. So Ripster, appreciate you not only for coming on and hanging out with us, but for what you do for the community every single day.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it.
Absolutely, man. All right, I'll talk to you soon. Boom, there you have it, guys. Need more likes for Ripster. I like that. Guys, this is the Power Hour. This is the Trade Idea Show. We do this at noon Eastern every single day, 5 days a week, guys. So hit that subscribe button. Check it out. We run from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. every single day. If you like hanging out with me, again, noon Eastern, I talk through trade ideas. We make live trades on this show. So subscribe to the channel if you haven't. If you don't like me, don't worry. There's plenty of other content, news content, crypto content, etc. that we always have going. I'm going to wish everybody the best into their trading day. And there's AMD ripping that 113. I like it. I guess if anybody has any symbols that you're looking at or you're trading right now, drop them in the chat. I want to see what else everybody has. Couple earnings that are on my radar. Again, guys, ticker PRTS. That is one that I am waiting for later this week. Tomorrow, I will be doing the full pitch on carparts.com and why I own the stock into earnings. It's always risky to own the stock into earnings, but this is a longer-term trade for me. So we'll be talking through that thesis. And let's see some of these other symbols that folks are throwing out there. We got Keith is saying Roku, Ben with Clover, Scott with Hood. Let's look at Hood for a second. I sort of think Hood is interesting. Oh, my God. 18-19% today. Producer AB, remember yesterday I said we should hit Hood and we didn't. We're like, let's dig in a little bit more. We're not going to trade it today, but I said we should probably hit Hood.
Yeah.
20% day. Damn it.
I said, Luke, that I wanted to wait a little bit to see kind of how the stock reacts. We've talked about this before, that every stock has a different personality. So maybe this is one that just moves a lot and has 15, 20% moves on the up and down side, you know, on the daily. So it could be an exciting, very volatile stock here. I don't know. I don't think Vlad knew that this stock was going to go up this much because he sold a lot of shares, the CEO, on the IPO day. If he would have known, that's
typical. I mean, he needs, you know what I mean, take a little bit of money, take a little bit of liquidity out
there. Oh, I'm sure he still has a bunch of shares and has made a bunch of money today if he decides to sell any. But, you know, we saw Cathie Wood get into the stock. You know, the app itself gets so much hate, but at the end of the day, it has a very active user base and has truly revolutionized investing. So I'm interested in this one, Luke. I'm also looking at Fortinet right now, ticker FTNT. We've talked about this stock a couple times. We've looked at the chart, and it just has an incredible chart over the last year. Just a straight, if you go out, if you click the little chart tab and go to the year chart, we can see that this has just been going on a straight tear for the last year. It's up again 3% today. It just doesn't stop.
I'm in this one too, baby. Let's go.
It just doesn't stop. I don't get it.
We bought this one live on the show. We don't talk about it a ton because it's been a slow grind, but I'm still long and strong this one, baby. All-time highs. Keep going. FTNT. That is what the Power Hour is about.
I bought more of this.
Live trades we make on the show are our high conviction trades.
I know they are. I bought more of this stock a couple weeks ago, and in my head I was like, this might be dumb. You know, I don't know if it's going to keep just climbing up. But what do you know? It just goes up every single day. So I have no clue what's going on with this, but I love it. You know, the trend is your friend, and the trend is definitely there.
Boom. All right, AB. I'm going to sign us off for the day. Let's get back to it. Happy trading, everyone.
Get access to actionable news and market research with all the information you need to invest smarter and profit faster. Start your free trial today at pro.benzinga.com.